James, what is everybody?
Hey, meeting. Shall the roll call?
All right. Justin.
I'm here.
Kevin.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Randy.
Here.
Sam is out.
Okay, so we'll do the approval of the minutes.
You're just the one set, or is there?
I think that's all there is. It's just the one.
August 10th.
Yeah.
There's ADR, there's only one.
10th, yeah.
Well, I'll make a motion we approve the minutes for the CDRA meeting held on August 10th, 2021 at 6 p.m.
I guess I can say, okay.
I just had to finish paragraph.
Yeah. Okay, next is the approval of claims. Where the heck are they? Right here. I've been over them all.
So which, Ludlow, which project is he work, they working on?
Which one?
Ludlow, I'm just curious, what project? Subdivision amendment?
I believe that was for up at in our RDA, out in our industrial park.
Okay.
We had to redo a plat that was needed to be corrected.
I didn't know if they were involved in that one, and he has, but I think Sunrise is the Aspen Village, right?
That was just kept corrected.
Need a motion?
Need a motion.
I'll make a motion. We approve the invoice register dated 8/7/2021 to 9/10/2021 in the amount of $2,516.02.
I'll second that. Okay, it's the executive director's report.
Hang on, we have to do a roll call vote on the claims.
Okay.
Justin?
Oh yeah, for this, okay.
Can you hear?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Kevin? For the claims, do you approve?
Yeah.
Paul?
Yes.
And Romney?
Yes.
Okay, I told her 1.5 minutes
for
Brenda.
You got a little more time than that, probably.
You've had a lot of this said to you in the past. You know, time goes by, and you guys are very busy, and so these handouts are to give us an update. What I'm handing out to you now is the management agreement we had early on with for the Promontory Arena Equestrian Center. And then along with this, we have for you the resolution we passed as to how we manage conflicts down there.
That's fantastic.
So you have to have the original management agreement we had in 2017. The adjusted salary is going to largely count. I know. You get it. You got complaints there from his manager. Okay, now, in addition to that, we have over this debt spot later. So, what we have there is the management agreement we set up. And you'll see that was an agreement we had between White Peak Ranch. I've talked to Kevin about this. He was involved back in those days. White Peak Ranch and the city through its redevelopment. As you recall, the local building authority, as a nonprofit corporation, owns that facility, and then we lease it back to the city. And the city then has a contract. Now, what you see in that original management agreement that we had down there was it talks about the building authority, then it talks about the reports to the redevelopment agency. Now, the way we used to do this early on is that all the receipts that came in from the arena rentals and so forth would go into a line item in the redevelopment agency budget, okay? And then we all, then we would turn around, and out of that, we would pay the expenses to run it through there. Now, this worked pretty well, because what we'd do at the end of the year, we would give them a 1099. And it worked pretty well, because and I checked it out with the IRS, and it was a perfect example of what an independent contractor is, rather than an employee. There's not a direct employer-employee relationship with Jack, because we don't supervise him. He basically ran it through his business, okay? Now, it worked really well. So all of a sudden, you say, well, if that works so well, Monty, why now do we have a situation where the receipts from the arena go into the general fund, and Jack and Gay Lynn are on the payroll out of the recreation department? Now, Jack told me yesterday, he said, look, it's a poor fit. He said, we don't really blend in to the rest of the recreation department's activities. It would be a heck of a lot better if we could go back where we started. So the question is, how did we leave that plan? We left that plan because at that time, there were a number of lawsuits that were being filed. And so Jack and Gay Lynn were concerned about being sued. Well, since that time, we found an answer to that. We just basically, they have a certificate of insurance that they provide us with, that they have up to $1 million in liability insurance. So what we're asking the board to consider, it's not an action item tonight, it's an information item. So take these home and read them, and look into the possibility of going back to making White Peak Ranch the management entity that runs it, like it states there, but they would be independent contractors rather than having Gay Lynn on the payroll and Jack on the payroll. Now, another reason to justify this, you recall, when we were trying to give them an increase, they were making $15,000 each, working 7 days a week. We wanted to boost that from $30,000 a year for two employees to $45,000 a year. But the only way we were able to do that is have the RDA transfer $15,000 over to the general fund. Because, so we've already established by that subsidy that we're going back to what we had before. And so what we're asking you to do is to consider the possibility of going back to having them as 1099 rather than W-2 employees, okay? Now, there's another reason for this.
Isn't that the agreement that we've got right here in front of us?
That is. You can see when
With the exception of the...
You can see when we started.
Right.
That's when we did it. We had a contract with the RDA and according to the council. We had a contract whereby White Peak Ranch...
Right.
Read it.
Right.
And the thing
is that going back to having all fund everything received and back into the RDA?
The point, what we did talk in those days is that the receipts would come to the RDA and the RDA would also pay the expenses, including the contract with Jack. Okay. And what we'd do on that, if the receipts weren't enough money, then the RDA would get a grant from the heritage area and make up the difference. Mm-hmm. So all we're asking you to consider, again, it's not an action item, is to consider going back to that. And one of the reasons for that is many times you've asked us to look at what Jack's doing down there in terms of logging equipment. And Bo asked us to do this many times. And so finally we have prepared for you, based upon expenses of the tractor log, you see the heading of this talks about the welder, the equipment, and so forth. There's nothing new here. He's made these presentations. I'm just now getting the data to you. And this, if you look at this, you'll find out that really what this equals is an annual amount of $6,875 per year is the value of his equipment stuff that he uses, divided by 12 equals $572.91 a month. So, if you decide that you want to go back to having him an independent contractor, then we could build this into that contract. Now, currently, the arena's taking in about $100,000 a year in receipts. We think that should be enough to cover. If you decide to go that route, we'll have you all kinds of data to see if that covers. If not, the Heritage Area is committed to make up the difference because we're partners down there. And also Sam Pete Venny is willing to make up the difference. And so for you to dwell on this for a month now, and then we'll put it as an action item. And the question before you is this. Would you be interested in going back to where we were 4 years ago, when White Peak Ranch had an agreement with us as independent contractors to run it? But White Peak Ranch used all the equipment and everything, which has now been itemized for you, okay? So that's the proposal.
Okay, but the difference would be the amount that they're compensated.
Pardon?
But the difference...
Yeah, we would adjust it that. That was the amount they were compensated back in 2017.
And what's it, do you know what it is?
Yeah, yes, the compensation is still $30,000 a year for two of them in the recreation budget, and then the RDA augments it by another $15,000.
So can it still pull 30 out of the recreation?
No, the recreation, yes, but what we do, that if you do this, we'll go back to where we were, they would no longer work for the recreation.
Okay, that's
what... They would no longer be employees in the recreation department. They would be independent contractors on White Peak Ranch to run it.
Okay. They would no longer be under the city of liability insurance.
Huh?
So they would no longer be under the city's liability insurance. They do their
own. You've got a minute? We're going to check that because we're going to find that out. I'm going to get a legal opinion of that. I know that Kevin's quite busy. I sent him some stuff. We'll have a month now to find out how we handle that. One of the ideas we're looking into is that he would carry a $2 million policy and then give us a certificate of insurance, just like you do when somebody goes down there and runs. But again, the proposal would be, because he feels like that they're not fit for the recreation department. That it's just not, I mean, Stephanie, for example, has nothing to do with the arena.
Right.
And Jack functions completely as an independent White Peak. They don't report to us. They, under the IRS definition, they're a classical case of what constitutes an independent contractor versus an employer. He doesn't have any employer-employee relationship under that original reason.
Just now, one more question, yeah. Just to clear up. But if that's the case, what about the city equipment that he uses?
Well, we work in an agreement. If the city and the agreement we put together would like to provide, and that would also clear this up, because there's not clear lines on what he uses the equipment. So what this would do is we outline what his equipment is, then the contract you would decide on, if you decide to go this route, would highlight what he might use for city equipment, but that would all be set forth in the contract. Now, there's one more thing on this, too.
Can I help
you? Well, the city still owns the property and everything. We're obligated to provide certain services like snow removal and...
Precisely. Because the way you do that, the building authority owns it. It's a three-part, the city...
It's just like a subcontractor working on a job. It provides certain equipment. And we provide the rest.
And the reason for that is...
I'm thinking like we just got some new side-by-sides.
Right.
That Jack wants to take all down there for them to use down there. Things like that are going to have to be scheduled through the city. It can't just be come and take the equipment and...
Of course not.
I thought he had his own side-by-sides.
No.
He needed more.
What it is is that they have the San Pedro venue, and they pay an extra $5,000. They can save $5,000, but they'd pay another additional $5,000 if they can use the side-bys. So what happened is that Jack's contacted Colder. Colder said to also contact Sandra because she has one for the cemetery. And but again, right now you're talking about a concept. If you try to go back, and it worked really well, frankly, better than it does now, quite frankly, back in 2017. The only reason we changed it was because of the lawsuits with Richardson's and others. So the question before that you'll be looking at over the next month is, do you want to go back to where they function, White Peak Ranch runs it, and that way it clears up the lines of when he's using his equipment and all that stuff, rather than paying him $500 a month for his equipment as that dollar figure comes out, that would just be rolled over into the contract.
Okay, now, so what's the contract? We never did finish that question. You started with the $30,000, and then the recreation department.
Well, we put together a draft contract to bring it back to you.
So
the contract you had before is the original.
We don't have that new number that we come up with, a couple of months ago. We adjusted the way.
No, because that's going through the RDA transferred $15,000 over into the recreation into the general fund. So, but again, I emphasize this: they are currently functioning as employees
Right.
And they get a W-2 at the end of the year, they're functioning as W-2 employees of the Recreation Department. The question before us is, do you want to go back to where we started, where Black Peak Ranch, if their equipment, their personnel, if he has to hire somebody else to help him, he wouldn't go through the city coming after an employee like you brought up the other day, he would provide that.
Okay, that's
And who would pay that employee?
He'd have to pay out of his contract.
Okay, because in the past, that's not what we've done, they would claim it would be brought to me to pay them. A claim would be brought to me to pay them out of the RDA.
And that's one of the problems, it was an addiction, we're trying to clean it up.
Okay, but even that, four years ago, that's what we got.
I know, we're gonna try to clean that part up. Now, the other part of this is that we also have here, but this is something that Kevin Daniels really liked from the conflict. Here's your resolution we passed on how we resolve complaints at the arena, okay? This is the resolution. Now, in the back of that, you'll see that it also is tied into an ombudsman. In 2017, we created two things. We drafted a resolution that actually, we put this one together in 2018, a due process thing, so the people who filed
that's them, same thing you handed out before.
The other was a management agreement, this is a resolution how to handle conflicts down there.
Well, you handed it out.
I gave two. I did give both at the same time. That's an extra. Sorry about that. I did give you both of them. Okay, you got two things in front of you. One of them is a management agreement. The other is a resolution of how we handle conflicts down there. And then on the bottom back part, you see we also have an ombudsman that they could resort to. The thing that's interesting about this ombudsman resolution we passed in 2017, you'll find the pronoun her used there because at that time it was understood that Heidi Kelso would operate in that capacity. And I was laughing when I said this over to Kevin Daniels to look at. I said, well, I don't worry too much about her because I get all these emails and people in national parks say he, she, her, they, so I don't know.
Was that actually ever signed? That resolution?
Which one?
Yeah.
Approved this day, 13th day of June, 2017.
Well, an ombudsman's an independent. He should be affiliated.
Well, no, he should be a member of the council.
The ombudsman was a member of the council, and Heidi Kelso acted in that capacity. What we did when we drafted that law, I mentioned that to the emails with Kevin Daniels, we should have put he, her. But when we drafted that, because it was Heidi, we just had the pronoun her. But the idea behind it was that there would be a member of the city council appointed to be an ombudsman.
Well, I thought an ombudsman was somebody that was neutral.
An ombudsman, well, that's a good point. And the feeling was at that time that maybe what we ought to do after Heidi's term, the question came up as well, maybe what we ought to do in the future is amend that if you decide to do it and make it a non-council member as the resolution says, they're supposed to operate in an independent capacity. So that could be changed. All I'm saying to you, that was the original ombudsman resolution we drafted, and that went along with the due process agreement on how we handle conflicts at the arena.
So I have another question. Did you get some heartburn off of this ombudsman deal?
No.
There was no heartburn come back to a member of the council conflicting interest.
Well, the reason we did it, the reason we came up with it was a situation where the a person, this had nothing to do with the arena, although it could apply to them. What it was an employee who had an issue with the chief executive officer that she reported to him because she could not report to that person objectively. We thought, we did a lot of research, and we said one of the ways that some larger cities handle this, you create an ombudsman to whom the person can go if they report to somebody, if the person to whom they report is the person against whom they filed the complaint, they can't resolve it there. But now to take a look at the issues in terms of the how do you handle complaints at the arena, we do say the first place to start is to resolve it between the two parties involved, in the case of the arena, between the complainant and the manager. If you can't do that, then you take the next step. And by the way, Kevin really likes this. He said, I'd like other communities to adopt this, because this process we have, no, I'm not talking about the ombudsman, that's just attached. I'm talking about the process at the arena. This gives both the complainant and the managers and that work down there due process, so they can objectively resolve the conflict. Okay, that's why we have that. And again, the reason I'm giving that to you is it's a companion piece with the management agreement, okay?
So maybe we ought to look this over and maybe just reword a little bit of the...
Exactly, and so...
But it wouldn't be a... If we're going to bring it back, it wouldn't be at a CDRA, because this is a city resolution that would go to another council.
That is correct. That was only attached there so that you know that the conflicts take place at the arena. There's also one other source they can go through, because the city leases the arena. They can resort to the ombudsman position that's created, and she's absolutely right. So that's for your information. That is a city-appointed position, the resolution is. The ombudsman is, okay? But again, the purpose of this is to give you this stuff, to reflect on it and think about it, and then we'll come back and address it in a subsequent meeting. Now, there's one more thing here.
So, just for my understanding, probably part of this is due to the fact that Jack's not been able to hire or keep people employed, because he has to go through the city to do it. And it would probably be better to just hire somebody.
And they used to do that. They hire people who work at the White Peak Ranch. Yeah. And they go to the White Peak Ranch. He would just have them go over to help at the arena whenever he needed it.
Right.
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that being an advantage.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Well, I'm not lobbying for this. I'm just saying that Jack is something that Jack brought up. So pull out all the documents, go back 4 years, ask you to read this over, and then we'll address it. If you decide to go the next step, then I can coordinate with Kevin Daniels, and we put together the management agreement and go that route. But that's two or three steps down the road, okay, Rondy?
The money still comes from the same cookie jar.
Yeah, is that the bookie? Do we go back to where we were? The receipts from the arena would go into the RDA, which in turn would pay the management agreement, and then if there's not enough, then the RDA would have the... The White Peak would have to get its other source. It wouldn't come back to the recreation department.
Right.
So again, the underlying point is that Jack feels, and he's talked to Kevin about this as well, he feels that the arena is, because it's a different type of a situation than the rest of the recreation department, it's not a good mix for recreation departments. Separate. For example, Blackhawk. That has nothing to do with the recreation department of Salina or Sevier County. Okay. Okay, now, to move quickly now to the next phase of this, if the questions come up, you recall 2 months ago when we met, our July meeting, we had a deal from David Grohl, and we had with David Grohl, he sent George Jones up here. Now, the only thing we approved then was a concept. We approved the concept that we liked the idea of bringing in that Denver Rio Grande engine. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It was a concept. It didn't give them any authority. So when they started digging up the ground, then I stopped them. And so where we're at today, I talked to Jones DeMille, and tomorrow, let's see, Thursday, they will have completed a survey. Remember I sent all that stuff out to you? They've completed a survey. They'll complete a survey and stake it out that shows parcels A and B. Now, when this land was purchased, there were two parcels in that legal description. Parcel A is 1.3 acres where the depot sits in the land. Now that was, we had Steve Nelson give an appraisal on that, and it came up for $150,000. Then parcel B is that little triangle that's the other side of the road. And they paid $25,000, so they paid $175,000. But then later, they paid $25,000 to the recreation department, and that money went up to seed and to put the sprinkler system in for the soccer field and eventually be used for the cemetery somewhere down the road. So after I met with you on this and started working out the details for you, there was a difference of opinion. The Groves had the opinion that the original 1.3 acres goes down to that extra 50 feet. I didn't think so. So in the emails I sent you on this, I said the way to resolve this, and I talked to Trevor Gadd today at Jones DeMille, the new survey will show the 1.3 acres that was sold, it'll show that triangle piece, those are parcels A and B, but it'll also show the 25 feet that goes out to the park where you see that chain link fence. It'll also include that extra feet. And so I told nobody to do nothing on that, and I sent that email to Mike, the mayor, and he sent it back and says, good, let's get the survey. So we're going to clean that up. Now the question that Dave Roxman brought up to me was, well, do we have to hold a public hearing if we find out the 50 feet is not in the original cell, okay? Do we have to hold a public hearing?
So did we find that out?
I did. Here's up here to your answer to that. In 2011, the legislature passed a bill, and it was based upon the representations of the League of Cities and Towns, where cities had all these little pieces of property. They had a few feet here and a few feet there. And so what they said is it's ridiculous for a city to hold a public hearing to sell 0.10 acres that we got from the border adjustment. So they said, what you have to do, the cities have to, we drafted this ordinance you see here, you have to draft an ordinance to show what constitutes a significant parcel of land. If the land is a significant parcel, then you have to hold a public hearing. If it's not a significant parcel, you don't have to. So in that ordinance, if you read that over, you'll see that we define a significant parcel of land as a piece of land on which you could put a building in that particular zone. Okay? So with that logic you have here, there would be no reason, if you find out they need to buy 50 feet of land, you wouldn't have to have a public hearing. We had a public hearing at the time we sold the other land. But you wouldn't have to have a public hearing based upon this ordinance and based on state law to sell somebody 50 feet of land, okay? So that's why you got that.
I'll just point out, though, that the mayor feels like you should do it anyway just because of public opinion.
Well, I'll say this.
Opinion on things.
I'm not going to contradict the mayor, but I'll say this. If you get in the business of every time you're going to sell a few feet of land, you want to have a public hearing, you're opening up a Pandora's box, man.
That was more fun because of how the community reacted to the train depot out there. I think he just wants to make sure that they're in the loop because there was a lot of unhappy people. So I think that's...
Why did they approve it in the first place?
Well, I'm not trying to argue with
you. Well, I'm getting sick and tired of this. We raised millions of dollars per project. Everybody supports something. Everybody wants to come back and be a Monday morning quarterback. That's not fair to the private enterprise that pumps money in. They're going to pump $2 million into that project.
I think it was more just a misunderstanding than it was people upset.
Yeah, I think the attitude has changed since the original, too.
Yes.
If you didn't want it there, why did you let them bring it in? Why did you let them bring it in and spend all that money on it? Why didn't you tell them not to build it?
Well, city council thought it was a good fit for the depot. That's why we done it.
Pardon?
I say the city council thought it was a good fit for the depot.
They did.
To make that place profitable. That place had set there vacant since it's been moved out there
with
new entities, and this was a way to rejuvenate that area.
I'll bet there probably were a handful of people.
Right, you can't
criticize.
That's right. There was a lot more.
If you start making decisions on public clamor, and I've been running this business for a long time. If you start making decisions on public clamor and two or three people objected, you might as well close your place down. There'll always be people who want an industrial park, there'll be people who want to do this and that and the other. You got to make decisions and go with it.
Yeah.
It's my humble opinion.
I believe that if every time we want to do something, as long as we're within the law, and it's not a big deal, I mean, there's a lot of things that we're going to do as a city that we're not going to go to the public with.
Right? We just completed the third year report on phase four of the industrial park. We got $249,200 in EEA. We had to do a survey of all the businesses out there. We found out that that money, that $249,200, was leveraged by $2.4 million and 64 jobs created. That's the kind of stuff you go. Now, you get people, I get people all the time and say, why did you create that industrial park? I don't like all that stuff down there. But the decision was made, and your 10-year report and the survey shows that people support an industrial park because it creates jobs and adds to the tax base. Yeah. But there are people who don't want the industrial park.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who don't want a lot of things we're going to do.
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, if you can't take a little adversity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you start backing up and start second guessing yourself on something you did 10 years ago, you got problems. Paul's going to give a quick report, then we'll go over time. Paul's going to give a quick report on the what's going on up at Aston Village. Ronnie sent out an email and said they'd like to start on the roads.
Yeah.
To be moved. He's blaming it on, I talked to Nick 2 days ago, he's blaming it on the fact that they had a shortage of big dumpsters, I said this to you, and therefore he's not been able to get the rest of it out there, but he'll have it off there by next week.
All right, and I'll report on the road project toward the end of our meeting. There's been some hiccups there, so.
Well, now, one more hookup. So there's two left, and we've got all meter boxes set for the vacant lot, so we don't have to tear it anymore. My concern on this road project is there a bid item in there or a work item where they lower the manhole, take the covers off the manhole, do the road, then jackhammer it back out and raise the grade?
You know, I have to ask him about that. He did mention, I talked to Don today, that he was concerned about the survey or the markings for sewer. He just felt like maybe they weren't all marked, so. But I'll have to ask him, or I don't even know if they was marked. He just mentioned that he's seen two manholes in there and thought that there might be.
There's probably five or six.
But I'm in correspondence with him.
Okay.
And I'll ask him about that.
And then there's a few water valves that I'll have to lower.
So they need to lower the manholes.
Yeah. My deal with this over the years, especially down in Vegas, we take the ring and cover it right off and put a flat piece of metal right on the manhole.
Uh-huh.
And cover it up, and then they'll ask, call or do their thing. And afterwards, you come back and jackhammer it out, put the ring and cover back in, and, you know, level it up and all that. And
all right.
Pour some in.
Uh-huh. Put a collar.
A collar around.
Yeah, you know what, I can't answer that question, but I'll certainly bring it up with him.
Okay.
Now the road builder usually does that.
Yeah, usually, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's Coughlin, I guess, would do.
Okay,
that.
So is that because the grades weren't established when they put those in, or what's the deal there? There's already...
Yeah.
Manholes there, right. And access for the meters, I assume, right?
Well, they're sewer manholes.
Okay, oh, sewer manholes.
Sewer manholes.
So, what about the water? Is there
they're all
water?
Behind the curb.
They're all behind the curb, okay. So they're
it's
not
just
efficient.
The valves? The valves and the sewer manholes.
The valves are in the roadway.
Yeah. And as far as...
Now, are the valves for the individual residents?
That's the meters.
No, that's why I say it valves for the meters.
They're in the meter box.
Okay, so what's these water valves?
They're the main line water valves.
Okay.
I think there's four or five maybe. You know, very many. And as far as cleaning up that yard, you know, we can do all this other work if that's not completed. You know, if he hasn't got that all out, we can get the road done and then. Means more time to clean that up. So, who's the engineer? I know it's Sunrise, but you know the person.
For the road project?
Yeah.
You give the plan.
Well, right now, LithTech and Bedrock are having legal troubles.
Oh, really?
So, that's kind of throwing a monkey wrench in the entire project. Don's still optimistic we can get it done this fall. I'll have to ask him who the engineer is.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to talk to the engineer to talk about the drainage and some things will have to change.
So I can, and he's going to be contacting me as soon as tomorrow, but within the next week.
Okay. If you'll let me know, I appreciate it.
Okay.
That's where we're at, so.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the CDRA meeting.
I'll second it.
I'll second. Did you second?
Yeah. Good. Good, Julie's trying to get.